outside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 288. Andrew with you once again. I'm joined by my frequent co-host, Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey everyone, it's good to be back.
Well, Ben, I think you and I were both wrong about the NBA Finals. As we record this, the Raptors are on the verge of possibly winning their first NBA title. So, also, I guess if there are any Raptors fans listening, you can thank me for jinxing them, using my powers of the jinx once again. But I guess, Ben, Ronnie 2K was wrong. Losing Game 2 has not put the Raptors out of contention for the championship.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was Ronnie's jinx more overpowering in terms of things? And because, yeah, we did not see this coming, where we thought, you know, that the Raptors were lucky to get one, you know, to the Warriors and that. So, yeah, it's, game five ahead, sort of, you know, definitely all in or go home in that sort of sense. So, yeah.
See, now I'm conflicted because I'd like to pass the buck and put it on Ronnie, but at the same time I don't want to give him credit. So it's tough to know exactly how to respond to that. Either way, I mean, probably by the time people hear this, the result will be decided one way or the other. Either we'll be heading back to Oakland for one last, at least one last game. Well, actually, we'll be, because Game 7, if necessary, will be in Toronto. We'll either be heading back to a Game 6, or it'll be decided in Game 5, but that is the case. And if the Raptors win, you know, that would be pretty cool. I mean, that's obviously the first team from the 90s, the expansion team from the 90s to win a championship, make the finals and win, first Canadian franchise to win. Shame for the Warriors, although, you know, Warriors fans have had a pretty good run these past 5 years, I think, with three championships in the last 4 years, and
that's true.
3-5 is not too bad either by any stretch. And of course, I mean, it's tough to say what would happen if everybody was healthy. Certainly the Warriors, I think, would be in much better shape, but I don't know about asterisks. I used to really swear by asterisks. I don't know. I used to really swear by that idea when it came to things like this. But at the same time, you know, you show up and you play the team that is there, and the Warriors, as it is, have still got a couple of all-stars, and Steph Curry's having a great series, and the games, a lot of the games have been competitive, even if the final score hasn't really reflected that. So I don't know, you make it through a whole 82 games, the regular season, and get through the playoffs and win 16 games. You know, if you're going to put an asterisk on this, do you also put it on LeBron's 8 straight finals? I mean, yeah, people aren't too keen about that, are they? So it's kind of like, I guess, credit when it's due. And yeah, I mean, certainly the injuries have made it been a great opportunity for the Raptors, I should say. Terrible timing for the Warriors. But then again, the Rockets couldn't capitalize on it either. So you've got to still capitalize on those injuries. And, there's certainly, go back to 2015, the Cavs were without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. At the time, a lot of people were saying, oh, you can't make excuses, it's the finals. Well, can't make excuses now, I suppose. So
that's true.
But anyway, we will see what happens. I think they've got a decent chance of closing it out tomorrow at home.
I think so too. Do you think KD will play?
He won't, or it's very unlikely. He apparently practiced and it didn't go very well, so that calf injury is definitely quite serious. Don't think it's going to impact his off-season by any stretch of the imagination. There'll be people lining up to give him money, and the Warriors will definitely want to keep him, I'm sure. It's very unfortunate timing, obviously, for the Warriors. That doesn't look like he's going to play. Of course, these predictions can only age well in the next 24 hours if something else happens, but I think they'll have a decent shot. By the time we record the next show, I wouldn't be too surprised if we are talking about the Raptors as the new champions.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the only thing maybe the only two things that I could probably guarantee seeing if KD is to play, one is, you know, he's Draymond, you know, has stated, you know, they've won a championship without him. And, you know, the team's obviously
might sit out of spite.
Yeah, and, you know, and just say, look, at the moment you can't win without, like, you can barely even win without me. So, you know, that the thing, like, to maybe try and come back from 3-1 down, you know, and make him stand, like, sort of give him that...
That's a bargaining chip, I suppose, to say, well, he certainly, you know, all the talk was, oh, he joined the 73-win team, and coasted to a championship. But yeah, you know, obviously he is the two-time reigning finals MVP. He was the most important. I mean, many great all-stars obviously on the Warriors, and they all play a part. And but Durant has definitely been the standout player, I would say, in the last two finals, deserving those finals MVP awards. So yeah, he's got some leverage here, I think, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I think the other second thing, you know, if you wanted to be sure to, you know, get as big max contract as you can, you know, just if there's concerns how serious the injury is, kind of thing, you know, just to set the reminder to the other teams, is like, if you want me, you're gonna have to pay max. And so I think it would just be that. I think it'll be an ego thing for the main thing, like especially to get back at Draymond for that comment that, you know, that the team has won without him before. So
sure, yeah. I mean, it's I wouldn't be shocked if he moves on, but at the moment, I do think he's going to stay with the Warriors because that's a pretty good situation to leave. I think we've talked about this in a previous show actually when his free agency came up, but yeah, I at the moment I'm picking him to leave. Then again, I pick LeBron to stay every single time. And he's moved on, so what do I know? That's the powers of my jinx, I suppose. But we will know, and certainly, again, by the time this comes out, most people will probably already be aware of the result. This show is coming out a little bit late this week, or in fact, it's coming out into the new week. The reason for that is basically just couldn't get on to record last night. I was feeling a bit under the weather. You were feeling a bit under the weather too, but by the time we were looking to record and... yeah, we wanted to, Ben, but unfortunately, just the way it worked out. And so we are recording a little bit later this week. Didn't want to wait a whole 2 weeks between shows because we do have a few things to talk about news-wise. Didn't want to let it get too out of date so that it wasn't topical anymore. Probably not going to be a permanent move to Tuesdays for the release time, but maybe, you know, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, I didn't want to leave you without a new show for a whole 2 weeks, and hopefully this is something fun for you to listen to on a Tuesday rather than a Sunday night. So here we are with episode number 288.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the start of E3, so there was always that small chance maybe we could have heard something from one of the games, so, you know, it was potentially worth the risk just sort of seeing if there was any news that we could potentially bring from the event, so...
Well, we will get into it later on in the show, but yes, EA Play was over the weekend. A few of the community members were there to see what was going on with the EA games. A lot of EA stuff, basically NBA Live is only shown at EA Play now. EA is not having anything to do with E3. E3 has kind of lost its luster, I think, Ben, at least with some of the companies that we follow, and 2K and EA. It doesn't really seem to be...
And Sony, like, or given that Sony... because they've shown a lot of their games out already a few times that they didn't want to kind of repeat. But
yeah, it's not really the big show that it used to be. I mean, it's still a big deal, I guess, and there are still announcements that are being made. But it's back in the day, certainly for us recovering the basketball games, E3, it was all about E3 and then EA Play. But Live 20, not at EA Play. There is we'll cover that as we talk a bit about Live 20, speculate on Live 20, I should say, later on in the show. First up, though, a news item, Ben. The NBA Live 14 servers are being shut down on November 1st this year, which will be after almost 6 years of service, which is not totally unprecedented because they did have some online support for Live 07 ran very, very long time. And Live 10, of course, had the updates come through for another year after the cancellation of NBA Elite 11, and they left the servers on, I think, for another few years after that as well. It was quite some time before they shut it down. But... nevertheless, the service for Live 14 will be shut down November 1st after 6 years. Quite a long time to support a game. I know a couple of years ago I was surprised when I logged on, Ben, to pop Live 14 in to get some screenshots for an article and realized, wow, the servers are actually still online. I can go into Ultimate Team and everything. So the Ultimate Team and all the online services will continue to run until November 1st this year in Live 14, at which point, once they're shut off, everything that doesn't have online components will still work. Yeah, but that's quite interesting, Ben, that it has run this long.
Yeah, I mean, given especially that, you know, Live 14 didn't have a great reception in that, but the support of it to keep the servers on for this long is, yeah, I think a monumental surprise. I thought they would sort of shut it down maybe just before 16 or just after 16 came out, so... It's good to see that they continue to support it for so long. I'm guessing, you know, Live 15's servers might finish close next year.
Yeah,
around the same time.
I'm guessing within the next couple of years, we're going to see the 15 and 16 servers close down. Obviously, not many people still going back and playing Live 14 and 15 and 16. A lot of people, I think, are playing 18 at the moment. I've seen that on Twitter. People talking about going back and playing last year's game. So that's the thing. Or I guess the 2017 game. It's 2019 now. It's that aside, the 2018 season game anyway. Yeah. So it will. They obviously can't support it forever. Servers cost money and have to be maintained and whatever. So you do have to at some point pull a plug on the online services. Has been happening pretty much since games have had online components, basically. Any kind of online service is not very rarely offered in perpetuity. And I guess EA has done the sort of 2 to 4 year cycles before with the online support when you go back and look at it. But like you say, Ben, considering how poorly Live 14 was received and how you think a lot of people would have moved on from it by now, it is surprising that they went the whole 5.5, 6 years of online support.
Yeah, you know, again, given that, you know, the current market leader, 2K, they tend to shut theirs down around, is it 18, 20 months or something like that?
After the debacle with 2K14 and everyone's having their saves locked and lost,
yeah,
they actually extended to 27 months.
Okay.
So now you get the full season that the game is current, a full season after that, and then 3 months after that, to wrap things up before it finally gets shut down. So you get 27 months.
Okay.
So that's a much better way of doing it with 2K. I mean, there's still problems with the whole always online. And in fact, I just published an article about the problems with server stability in the Monday tip-off. But yeah, I mean, the 27 months, if you haven't really done everything you want with the online stuff, and I've got to imagine after 27 months, not a lot of people are playing online. I remember going back to 2K17 and seeing if we possibly get a game online, you know, when we were upset with 2K18 and not happy with that. I went back to 2K17. Yeah, trying to get a game with that would have just been really impossible, basically. So most online gamers move on. They move on once it's been subsisted, certainly after a year or so. So yeah. 27 months is...
Imagine, too, like, people's hard drive spaces on their consoles or external hard drives and stuff. So, you know, especially with a lot of games coming out, yeah, that they'd want to try and keep the hard drive filled up as with stuff that they wouldn't be playing as much. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
Absolutely. So that's the way it is with NBA Live 14. It's had for a troubled game, it's certainly had a good run as far as online support is concerned. If you do want to go trophy or achievement hunting, you might want to get on that as soon as possible because there are online achievements. They are possible to get at least until November 1st. After that point, it's going to be much like that NBA Live 07 achievement, Ben, where be online with 1,000 people.
Yeah,
and a few people actually got it.
That's cool.
Back in the day, I don't know if you remember, but they were actually people would organize meetups to all get online at the same time. And
oh, true. I did not realize that
because it was such a weird achievement, be online at the same time as 1,000 other people. It was clearly a gimmick to get people playing the game. Basically, such a transparent gimmick when you look back at it. And people gave it a shot a few times. And I remember trying to get into a couple of them and just, you know, depending on what the time was, I just lucked out. But I think the last attempt was when the servers shut down around about 2010, 2011. I looked it up a while ago because I had to link, because I was talking about it in an article and I had to link to it. I think it was 2010 that they finally shut the Live 07 servers down. And they actually did it. In the last attempt, they got about 1,500 people online. A lot of people actually got the achievement on the on the last day before the server shut down. They managed to get it. That was kind of cool that they did that. But again, I don't like those kinds of achievements. That they're really for completionists. I think they're pretty cruel because it really relies on other people and the game being good as well, which was obviously a problem with Live 07.
That's true.
That was kind of a very much a gimmick, you know, what people wanted to do just for fun. But hey, I suppose they made some fun out of it. But in any case, you do have a limited amount of time to do that. Live 14 server shutting down November 1st, and we'll keep you up to date as to the closure. The shutting down of Live 15 and 16 servers. But yeah, again, Ben, probably the next couple of years, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I think, you know, even though next gen is now officially confirmed for next year, I think there'll be that for 2 year crossover period before, you know, they'll obviously be the early adapters or adopters, I should say, and then people will eventually get it after probably, you know, or go to more next gen after those 2 years and that. So yeah.
That makes me feel old, you know, realizing how much time has passed since the last generation was new, you know, yeah. 2013, and because that was the first console I got at launch, actually.
That was the same with me. It was, yeah, and I just remember, like, if you didn't order it by, like, I think a week or two after E3 for PlayStation 4, you had to wait till basically March or even May the following year to get it.
No, so I'll have to pre-order again when that all comes out, but I suppose that is a year away, at least, at this point, so we will cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah, it's looking like, again, around November 2020.
We move on now to our main discussion topic this week, or one of them, I suppose, and it's based on a game that is actually current and being supported, that being NBA Live 19. The big patch is out, Ben, patch 1.25, the major gameplay update. Possibly the last update for NBA Live 19, it's certainly the last one that's scheduled. And so that came through June 3rd, right about the start of the NBA Finals, just as promised.
Yeah, and it offered a few big things in that, especially the method to try and stop basically ball hogs.
And you know, we speculated on that, what that might be, and we overlooked the completely obvious one, which is that it was a shot penalty.
Yeah, which is quite a surprise, and it actually made a lot of sense in the end. It was like, yeah, that's a good way to penalize someone. So
it really was the obvious solution. We were thinking all kinds of things like forced passes or turnovers or things like that, when obviously just a huge reduction to shot percentage is the way to go. We will talk about that in a moment. We'll just run down the quick patch notes at first. So the not a detailed list of patch notes, but at the same time some significant updates all the same.
More than three lines, at least.
More than three lines. It didn't take us 2 or 3 days to get those lines.
Actually, no, that was 2 weeks or something, wasn't it? That one.
Anything more than immediately posting when the patch notes was longer than it needed to be for those three lines.
Yeah.
It might have been a week or so. Yeah, you could be right about that. So with the Prime updates, the venue and uniform updates for Key 54. Memory corruption fix for players with 5 created players, and as far as the gameplay tuning based on community feedback, up defensive impact to shots, introducing the ball hog penalty, basically meant if a user hogs the ball for an excessive period, shots will be penalized. A major shot penalty will kick in if a user continues to ball hog, only for user player jump shots in live run. So if you're playing the league, you can hog it from your your CPU teammates as much as you want. It's only for user versus user games, as it should be. Bigger players will play contact shots against smaller players less often, so cleaner looks and bigger players going against smaller players not going to be overpowered as much, which, again, makes a lot of sense. You don't really want your Shaqs or your Andre Drummonds, I suppose, being impacted by Steph Curry. More impact for lower-rated players on contact layups, so again, players who aren't as good at finishing through contact have a harder time doing so. Makes sense. Certainly, that's some good tuning. Increased chances to make cleaner layups and shots around the rim. Fewer clean layups missed from light contests. Again, you don't want those cheap missed layups like 2K18. So definitely don't want to go down that path. Improved ball handling versus collisions. High-rated ball handlers will only pick up the ball from too many collisions or being super low on the short-term stamina, which, of course, is under the meter under their feet. And there's also roster updates, which can be found. Full notes have been posted on all the ratings updates, etc. So fairly significant gameplay tuning update there, Ben, as on top of the other fixes, and a lot of likeness updates as well. Ricky Rubio was one such player, and also Mike Conley. So a fair amount did go into patch 1.25.
Yeah, and there's a fair bit of WNBA content update as well. Some of the sponsors and jerseys and faces and stuff like that. Like, this Cambridge got another update. I think it's at least her second one for Live 19, where she's at least had 2 updates in terms of facial updates. So that's good to see.
Yeah, so definitely a lot of effort put into the updates. Well, I guess, yeah, a lot of updates as well. A lot of likeness updates. Definitely a lot of effort. And the gameplay tuning based off community feedback, on paper at least, is a really good idea. I'm glad to see, in that respect, that an update has come through this late in the game. I have to admit, Ben, that having played the game, I'm not that keen on the patch. I did say that on Twitter that I wasn't too happy with. My main thing is the issue with the shot contest, basically the defensive impact of shots, and the idea behind that, I should say, as based on the notes, is good defensive positioning will be rewarded by affecting jump shots more, which is a good idea in theory. But I played a game where I was controlling I was actually Raptors versus Warriors, you know, just to get some screenshots, basically. Yep. And I also played an ultimate team where I had Steph Curry, and I could not make a single, well, I won't say a single, but could barely make any kind of jump shot that wasn't completely wide open, because they've changed it so that you don't get the green release on a contested shot. And against the CPU has got ridiculous rubber banding recovery on defense, and they can really contest shots far too easily. So you basically, it's very, very hard to get a green against the CPU, I'm finding. Even turn the difficulty right down just to see, okay, you know, is it just me that I've been, that I need to adjust to it or whatever? But even on the lowest difficulty, and you know, the lower two difficulties, yeah, it takes away the green far too readily against the CPU. And so we got to the point where I can't make a contested shot with Steph Curry, who, as we know, quite often makes 35-foot threes out of a double team. And
yeah.
So that is a big problem, I think, with the jump shots. I think they've been tuned for online, which is important, but it's made the game against the CPU, for me at least, unplayable, because jump shots are it's almost back to like mid-90s NBA Live level of not being able to make a jump shot and just having to go in for layups all the time if you want to score. Because jump shots just aren't as viable as they should be because of this new contest, shot contest impact that they've tuned. Because the CPU just always has good defensive positioning. And no matter what you try, you run them through a pick and they just break through it or slip off it. And they're just there and they always manage to contest the shot. Yeah, I think they've ruined the game. And if they don't fix the jump shots for Live 20, I think the game's going to be in a big, you know, in a lot of trouble, especially for offline. And look, people can say, oh, it's, you know, offline players, you're not good, that's why you wouldn't play online. Yeah, well, you know, if you want to brag about how great you are at a video game, fine. But the fact of the matter is that a basketball game, an NBA sim, Live or 2K, needs to be good online and offline. It needs to play a good game of basketball in all its modes, an enjoyable game. And the game as it is, Ben, I don't find it enjoyable, I don't find it fun, I don't find it realistic. I don't think it's a good direction for the game at all. I think they've really overcorrected on this jump shot, this shot contest tuning, to the point where, yeah, the game is sadly unplayable. I'm going to give it more of a go just to make sure it's not just a bit of a knee-jerk reaction on my part. But my initial impression is this is like patch 2 for NBA Live 10 levels of messing up the game.
Oh, that's no good. Like, I got to play a little bit more of the game this weekend. I made sure I put in the effort playing it, and that my experience, obviously, because my player isn't generally a jump shot type player, and that although my player can actually make threes, but because of the latency issues in that on our servers and that playing here, and probably my connection as well, no, I don't really take the jump shots, and especially in the online aspect. So my experience, obviously, I haven't had to deal with the jump shot thing too much, especially being more primary as like a slasher, like playing like a Vince Carter role. I think my second character is, so you know, it's a bit of a dunker and then a bit of a three-point shooter and that. So
yeah,
I mean, I tried looking to sort of, but not remembering where some of the changes in that, so I'll have to spend this week playing a little bit more and obviously testing the jump shot offline and online and that, just to sort of see. But that's also going to be me also learning the timing of my jump shot of even the character that I play, because you know it's not really been a move I've taken in the game too much, because again, just because of latency issues of the past and that. So, and it's the same even with 2K, like, you know, character build that I have you know, it's not a great jump shooter, so, and, you know, there's always that latency issues and that, in that with them, so, you know, it's an adjustment for, it'll be an adjustment for me in that sort of sense, and determine whether, yeah, it's enough of a further game-breaking experience for me in terms of, you know, having a character that can't shoot when they should be able to shoot, given that, yeah, it can shoot threes in this case. So, yeah.
I think it is the problems with the defensive rotations, basically. The CPU is abnormally, supernaturally adept at them, I suppose, which is kind of something they have to do to keep up with the user and so that there is a challenge. But at the same time, because it is so strong, and on top of this extra nerf to shooting when you have the defender can make a what qualifies as good defensive positioning, which I think is very generous, at least for the CPU, it really seems very tough to hit contested shots, more so than considering how many jump shots have at least a little bit of defensive pressure on them in the real NBA, and compared to 2K shooting, and considering that 2K18 shooting was so terrible. Even with 2K19, there's a lot of times when there's a contested shot online when you're airball and you think, yeah, but I'm a sharpshooter, so I should be able to at least hit the rim on that one. You know, I wasn't that smothered, really. It is an issue in 2K as well, but this one in particular, I feel has really affected the quality of the gameplay, the ability to make jump shots, and it basically forces you to drive all the time. And that's another problem with Live's inside game, is that basically you just waltz into the paint and score. You know, there's not a whole lot of interior defense in NBA Live, which is not realistic. And I know they're kind of taking the more casual approach to the sim style, but I don't think that's the right way to go. I think it's not a lot of fun to just run in and dunk all day in a sim-oriented game. I think to be able to change it up and to actually be able to contest on one end and also to impact shots without having to block them, especially in the paint, and to also have to go against the CPU who can do the same thing to you. I mean, it's not just fun to easily get inside and dunk all the time on my end either. You know, the CPU shouldn't be able to do it. I shouldn't be able to do it. We both can, so it really comes down to that's the way to score. It's also really frustrating when you can't hit a very lightly contested three with Kawhi Leonard, and then Sean Livingston, of all players, hits a contested three on you. Sean Livingston, who barely takes, let alone makes any threes, you know. And that's the other frustrating thing, is that it's been nerfed so much for the user, and the CPU is still doing things that aren't realistic. I mean, yes, certainly poor three-point shooters do toss them up and make them. You know, I'm not... And we can't just say, oh, well, yes, it happens sometimes in real life, so it should... That makes it okay, because the balance is just not there in the tuning, and I was quite disappointed, because, again, this has gotten to the point where I thought, oh, I might get back into a bit of Live 19. Been playing a lot of 2K this year, because really got into my career, and I mean, struggling to get into a mode with Live 19, but I thought, oh, well, I'll at least give Ultimate Team another try, if nothing else. I couldn't finish the game that I was playing. I quit, and when that happens, you know something's wrong. You know, because it was just, I couldn't hit a shot. I'm like, this is ridiculous. These are top offensive players who can make these mid-range and three-point shots even under a little bit of pressure, but it just wasn't happening. And then up the other end, and then when Livingston hit the three against me when I was all over, I'm like, nah, that was rage quit time. And I can't remember the last time I've rage quit in Live. So
yeah, it's not something that I've done maybe once, maybe twice. I don't know. Like, given how long I've been playing the game for, I've had the rage fits with, well, not so much rage quits, but rage fits with 2K, where like it's the state of the PC version, where I broke like three controllers playing that game.
Yep. PC controllers, wasn't it?
Yeah, PC ones. Yeah, that definitely weren't the DualShocks and that.
No.
Although one of the controllers did cost me a bit of money, so that wasn't good. I can understand the gripe with that. Like, and you know, you reference into it being similar to patch 2 for Live 10 and that, and how much that killed the game.
Yeah.
Where I ended up, you know, playing NCAA basketball for 18 months, and that because of the patch for live, just made the game so unbearable to play in that sort of sense. So, yeah, I understand that great.
And I feel it's been a while since live has done that, because I know some people said that it happened with live 18 for them last year, but I played live 18 pretty much up until the launch of the new games last year, of 2K19 and live 19. So I didn't see it myself. I'm not dismissing it as a valid complaint, because obviously you could do the same thing to me right now. But that being said, I had a look on the subreddit, the NBA Live subreddit on Reddit, obviously, and I had a look at the patch thread for this patch 1.25. And yeah, I did see other people saying that they felt the nerf to shooting was a bit too harsh, and especially people who said they played offline. People, the franchise gamers and the Ultimate Team gamers, saying, they've gone from shooting 48%, you know, realistic percentages from three down to about 25 or less.
That's a big drop,
and you could say, oh well, it's just now you've got to be more skillful. But against the CPU, with all the things that the CPU does, again with the way it's able to rotate and be able to cheat its way into good defensive positioning, I mean, that's a significant drop. It's a significant impact to the shooting, more so.
You probably realistically expect maybe like a 2 to 3% drop, but yeah, not like 15% or so.
Over a 20% drop, basically, yeah. This person was talking about. And I was quite glad to see it wasn't just me. So it may be that I haven't been playing the game as much this year, so I don't know the jump shot. I'm not as used to the live 19 shot meter. I think that's a factor, not playing live 19 as much and getting used to its gameplay. But the fact is, I could hit shots before, you know, before the patch, and now I can see that I'm not being able to get the green release because the defensive positioning is taking that away, which is a good idea in theory, when it's taking a really good shooter, I mean, My player is not a shooter, and that's the problem with the current icon path, I feel, and that's a whole other issue, I suppose, with lives, the one. But even using, again, a strong shooter like a Steph Curry, or competent mid-range and long-range shooters like a Kyle Lowry, he's kind of up and down, Kawhi Leonard, who you're watching the finals and he's making these threes that, not some of them are quite open, others not so much. You know, shots that NBA players would make in rhythm and after rotating the ball around the perimeter and whatnot. Shots that are very makeable shots for good scorers who can shoot, basically, and they're dropping to under 30%. That's not sim, and that's not fun, because your only weapon then is to just go in and dunk every time, and that's kind of boring. And especially when the other team is taking threes as well, you're kind of like, well, I need to be able to have a perimeter attack as well. So, you know, and I think the other thing that frustrates me is other issues, like there's still some wonky layups in the game and weird kind of shots and like the rocket dunks and the rocket layups. There's still some of the blocks that feel very canned. The CPU steals, I think, are still a thing as well. They're kind of on the 2K level of canned steals, and even throwing the ball into the back of the opponent and them catching it. It's all the kind of things I think they needed to fix are still kind of problematic, and then they've been introduced a new problem. I'm really not feeling patch 1.25.
Hopefully, if there's enough feedback, they could rebalance it again.
I think that would be a tremendous idea if they did, because as it is right now, I think the CPU, playing against the CPU is just not fun, which means your only option is the online, and online is not fun either, at least for where we are in Australia, because the latency on the jump shots is just ridiculous. And here's the other thing is that the ball hog penalty, I think, is definitely a great way of handling it. I haven't been able to test that out as much. I do want to spend some more time with that. I was just so disgusted with the game, I just couldn't get into it anymore. But I have seen a lot of people in the threads mention that it hasn't really had an effect. And I have to agree with what one of the developers, whoever the developer was that responded to it with the official dev account, did say that these things do take time to really come in, because there's going to be people who are just going to hog anyway, and there's going to be people who are going to try and force through the the penalties. And the thing is, I don't think they really apply to layups. So if you can get to the rim, which you can do quite easily in live, that is, again, that's where the problem with the no interior defense comes in, is that the shot penalty is penalized, but if they can get an open layup, it doesn't matter because they're going to make the layup and they're not going to be penalized for hogging the ball. But I do agree that it's going to take some time for people to really change their attitude and change their approach. I mean, that's easier said than done. I mean, look at all the complaints we've had about 2K Online and, yep. and random people in Jordan Rec Center, in Walk-On, that it takes them off. Easier said than done to get people to change their approach to playing the game. So you're not going to stamp out ball hogs. But I do think it's the right way to go with that. I think it's just going to be one of those things that takes a while to actually take as far as people realizing, okay, I'm getting penalized. Maybe I should pass the ball. You know, that will take some time. But I think that's a good idea. Have you noticed any difference in the ball handling versus collisions? Because I still feel like the defender can make you, at least against the CPU, can make you pick it up way too easily.
I mean, from the few games that I played online, I didn't get the ball much, so it was hard to really gauge.
So you're still noticing the ball hugging as well?
Oh, I mean, the ball went to a couple other players. It just really wasn't me, and I think there was only like two or three times I actually got to shoot the ball. In a sense, and one was off a good screen that someone set, so I got to drive to the basket. The thing that I really noticed, though, in two games in a row was when I inbounded the ball from the baseline to a player, the player, you know, just stood there with the ball and got the 8-second violation.
Oh, so that's a thing.
So I don't know if they were away from the controller, but they were, as soon as the next play was, they were able to move in that. So I don't know whether there was some weird
glitch or something there.
Yeah, but yeah, it happened in two games with two different players and that. So I did capture those moments and that. But yeah, that was... It would be good if they could implement something like if the player hasn't moved for like 6 seconds and if you button mash, then... calling for the ball on that, then, you know, if they could, if it could trigger a pass automatically in that sort of sense, so you can, you know, if it recognizes that the player isn't putting any active inputs into the controller, I think if they do that, that'll be a great benefit to us for those moments, because, yeah, it does seem to happen.
Well, yeah, we've seen that in 2K as well, where people have been away from the controller.
Yeah,
and you kind of you take the time out so that you waste the time out trying to get it so that somebody else will inbound, then it goes to them again. So it's,
yeah,
and you're kind of like, well, okay, that's kind of letting the team down here, but you know, I mean, things happen. So that's you can't
or it's them that inbounds it, and because they're away,
you get the 5 second violation. So well, that's what I meant. Yeah. So I mean, that's an interesting idea to be able to force that pass in those situations and not have a turnover. Or the other thing would be to have a pause, but a timed pause and a number of times that you can pause the game, because I know they do that in 2K, that you can only pause for so long, and not in Pro-Am, I suppose. I suppose that then you're kind of held up by one player doing it. But you can put measures in place so that people aren't spamming pause and causing problems. You know, you've only got X amount of pauses left, for example. I'm sure you've seen it in that in other games. So that's one way of doing it. Addressing that is another issue. With ball hogging, I suppose it'll just be up to players learning to pass, learning to be less selfish, I suppose, and hopefully this will take. Layups, I think, are all fine. I think that tuning hasn't been too bad. It's really just the jump shots and not fixing some of the issues I really think are problematic. I have seen some people saying that the memory corruption fix of players with five players, with five creative players, hasn't worked. Apparently there are still people having problems there, so issue might be deeper than they thought. I don't have five, so I haven't experienced that myself, but that is unfortunate for people who are. But with all this in mind, you know, we look ahead to Live 20, and we talk about fixes that we want to stick. And we've talked before about 2K and the zigzag cheese and how they keep taking it out every year, so it seems, and then it comes back into the game. I do think that what they've done in patch 1.25, I think they need to move away from that for Live 20, because I think they've made the game... They may have fixed some of the online issues, but the offline game is now... Yeah, it's taken a lot of steps backwards, and I think for Live 20 they need to really focus on the jump shot mechanics and the shooting systems and the contest systems. I never thought I'd say that 2K after 2K18, I thought 2K18's has broken the shooting. 2K19, I feel they've actually done a pretty good job of it. So the system they got in 2K19 is probably the best jump shooting at least since kind of Live 16, 2K17.
That's a big call. And yeah, again, I know there's been shooting issues and stuff like that for the games, and again, with the players that I've chosen, just helps avoid that sort of potential green release drama and stuff like that. So yeah, my player's been more designed to be slashes, and that haven't really been able to see how much it's improved or gotten worse for either game in that. But yeah, I think given what I've seen from and heard from you and X and that this year, and even Leo and that elements haven't been enjoyable in that sense for their characters who are shooters and that. So yeah.
It's a difficult balance to strike, because the green release has its problems, the idea of a guaranteed release point, but at the same time, especially when you see the way it's working with Live 19 now, that if you have a really good defensive position, you can take away that green completely from even a great shooter. If it's... That balances it out defensively, but if the shooter... If shooting is reliant on getting a green release, it's sort of... what do you do? All the people need to do is get a hand in the face and you will stop a jump shot. And yeah, defense shouldn't be that easy either, because you look at the real NBA, the best offensive players, the best shooters, it's not like they get wide open shots every single time. You've got people doing all they can to stop the offensive player, and yet sometimes, like I say, good defense, better offense. That's the way it goes. So right now it's kind of like, if you can get a hand in the face of the or if the CPU can get a hand in your face, that's kind of it, And I don't think it shouldn't be reliant on greens, on perfect releases to make shots, contested or otherwise, because NBA players do make contested jump shots. It should be a proper tuned percentage, don't get me wrong. And I do like the idea of being able to make it very difficult, if not impossible, to get a perfect release on a really heavily contested shot. The problem is a lot of these contests are not that heavy. They're not draped all over you. If you've got the hand up and they're coming towards you, but you're already well in the shooting motion with a great shooter, you should knock that down more than 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Because, I suppose I don't have the statistics in front of me, the analytics of contested shots and percentages of them made, etc. But I do think that is something they need to work out for Live 20, the balance between online and offline, because you can't really tune offline and ruin online, and you can't tune online and ruin offline. You really need to make sure that both of them are working properly. And the jump shot mechanics, you need to work it out so that it's that shot contests don't have too little or too much of an impact, that the great shooters will make shots when they're under pressure, and even average shooters should be able to make shots under pressure as well. Because NBA players do not get open look after open look, even against the weaker defensive teams. I mean, they're still competent enough to get a hand in the face, usually.
Yeah, I agree.
So with that being said, any other thoughts on the patch and what it means for Live 20 moving forward?
Obviously, it's still a matter of them tuning a few things and getting that balance. Hopefully, they get it right. If they are going to do one more, if they do another a patch release to potentially rebalance some of the issues and stuff like that, then hopefully, it will be a bit better, and hopefully they can move forward with something similar to that in Live 20.
Definitely. What do you think the odds are? Getting a new patch. Are you getting 1.26 this year?
I'll say about 20%, maybe 25%.
About the same chances of me making a 3 then.
If they release something, or if, you know, if there's been enough of it to address it, and maybe if they do something in the next 2 weeks, you know, if they have a bit of a chance to try and, you know, a week might be too much time to sort of rush it. But I think if, you know, something's out in 2 weeks, I think that's okay. I think that's probably a good time and gives them a bit of time to test it properly and make sure. But yeah, if nothing comes out in the next 2 weeks, I reckon that's probably the window will be closed for 1.26, I think.
Yeah, I suppose it depends how much. I'm guessing they're going to have some events through the off season and the live events. So I imagine there might be some tweaking, some updates, at least through to the end of the season, kind of through to the beginning of free agency, because then that goes into the next year when they can't really do much. Or they can't put any more roster updates through anyway. They don't, as we've seen in previous years, or at least now we have roster editing, so we can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not that, and that's what disappoints me. I'm not that confident that we are going to get another one. I'm hoping that, because there has been a bit of backlash to the jump shot impact, and especially against the CPU, and knowing that I'm not the only one, it's not just, you know, me that has to get good. You know, it's other people who have been playing the game just as much or more, and saying, yes, there's been a noticeable drop because of the way the CPU defends. We might get some tuning. It depends whether that's the update that comes through in-game or not. Yeah. You know, whether it's patch 1.26 or whether it's a tuning update that comes through, you know, the in-game updates that when you fire up the game and it comes through. If it's something like that they can just adjust a little bit to the green release.
Yeah, I think, you know, that would be the easiest way of doing it for them.
So, yeah, looking ahead to Live 20, I do hope that they can sort out the situation with jump shots. I'd also like to see them fix up, kind of polish up the dribbling controls a little bit. One thing that still bothers me about the dribbling controls in Live 19, and been a few games with it now, well, I guess since Live 18, since they expanded the dribbling controls a little bit and the shooting controls, is with behind-the-back dribbles, you've got to move that semicircle to do it.
Yep.
And it's the same with a regular crossover, where you've got to hold down the trigger. Otherwise, it goes between the legs on the usual left-right without the without holding sprint. I really feel like a basic crossover should just be left to right, like in 2K. I think, funnily enough, considering how long it took me to get into 2K with its dribbling controls and how much I thought Live had always had the better right stick controls, at the moment, I've got to give it to 2K because of the simplicity of just hitting down on the stick or away from the basket if you're using camera relative, but I'm using absolute, and that's the new default now, thankfully, for me at least, because that's what I much prefer. But just being able to hit a simple direction from behind the back, either away from the basket or down if you're on absolute, and left or right or towards left or right hand for a basic left or right crossover, I think is a much better way of doing it. I think Live's dribbling has become a little bit contrived in that respect, and some really basic moves have to have more advanced movement of the stick. I think they need to fix that up. And obviously you need to tune the jump shots again. You need to get the interior defense so that there's a bit more physicality, and not necessarily fouls, but, well, certainly with fouls, you've got to have more shots that just get deflected or the player can't put the shot up because their arms get grabbed. Less and ones, basically, with the interior play. It can't be just drive all day and CPU just waltzing into the paint and finishing with a dunk or layup so easily. CPU needs to take more threes as well. It needs to have more of that that NBA style, real NBA gameplay and strategy. And I think clean up those issues, much like 2K has to do, clean up those issues with really canned moments, like the canned steals and blocks, where it just happens and it feels so artificial. You can see it coming, or the...
And the moments where you don't have control of your player, like we mentioned with the steal animation, where they end up running like 5 or 6 meters away from the play, and I mean, yeah, I know there's risk reward in that, but how we said, I think it should be more of your button mashing and holding sprint. You know, that's probably when you should get penalized, something like that, as opposed to, you know, press once and stuff like that, and it just sort of, yeah, it takes you out of that play when you're really just wanting to try and stand still and potentially swipe the ball, or, you know, cause enough of a distraction for them to, the player to, like, change their mind of what they were going to do and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not all about always trying to swipe the ball. It's more about making them second guess and change their option and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think...
Well, it's like in Live and 2K do it as well, when you go for the swipe and the CPU immediately does the elusive dribble. It feels very, yeah, very false. You can see, okay, they're almost button reading with it against the CPU.
Yeah.
And of course, the canned fouls, press steal to foul. That's, yep. That's a problem as well. I just like to see them clean up some of those legacy issues. And I know the animations and everything, we've covered those.
I think too, like with Live, some of the block animations are just too loose and ragged that you really have no control over them.
It's very canned. And they also need to get rid of that automatic layup. Automatic rebound.
Yeah.
You know, when your player automatically jumps for the rebound? Make that manual, because all these out-of-control movements just make the game feel so heavy and clunky.
Yeah.
And another one, we haven't talked that much about it, I think, on previous shows, but have you noticed when you pass the ball, it's very hard to get a player to catch it stationary in line?
Yeah, like, yeah, they're always moving in some way. So yeah.
Like passing it, and that's where a lot of the interceptions happen, because suddenly your player starts the recipient starts moving. You're like, no, I want to... They're open. I want to hit them with the pass right there. Stationary, yep. So they can take a shot. You know, we talk about 2K's momentum having problems where you stop and pull up when you want to keep running. Live has the other problem where players just keep moving too much, and you got somebody posting up, and you just trying to give them a simple bounce pass into the feed the post, and all of a sudden they're just leaping away from the basket, or they're leaping into the paint and getting it stolen because they're not staying where they're supposed to be to catch a simple pass. They really need to fix up passing, because it's just too much momentum on the recipient. Basically, what should be a simple pass is made very difficult by the animation system right now. And I think it's something that people don't mention it that much.
One thing that sort of really bugs me too is, and again, this is in both games, like when you go for the pass and it's doing an overhead pass, but you're like passing to someone that's like 1 or 2 feet away from you, and it's like that it always makes the pass look like really dirty or out of like, it's like just doesn't look right. Like it would just seriously be like a handoff or even a chest pass. You'd think it'd be more of that, but yeah, having, and especially if it's a case where a player is in movement still and they end up moving behind you, but when you've taken the pass, you've passed it technically forward, but the ball and the animation make it warp. And I noticed that in one of the games today when I was playing it live, that even though I passed it forward, and because the player's movement animation had gone straight behind me, that the ball went with it too. And I was like, yeah, that defies a lot of laws of physics there.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you just the thought just occurred to me, do you think maybe the fact that passing is so unreliable also contributes to some of the ball hogging online? I mean, I know a lot of it's attitude and people just wanting to be player one and not caring about their teammates, but passing online is very risky. Like, I've tried to make some good passes and they've just gone awry because the animations have just dragged the recipient the wrong way or behind a defender or something. And it happens a bit in 2K, but Live's passing is, it really needs to be cleaned up.
Yeah. I'd say that I'll give a benefit of doubt. Say there's like a 10-15% chance of that. People maybe neglecting to pass because of that. You know, especially when there's the moment where you know, like you got a player that's like wide open, and like in a lot of cases, like where my player's been like open in the key and that, but.
They don't hit you with the pass because.
Yeah, and you know where I know when you're playing point guard that you'd see me and you'd hit that pass, you know, as best you can. Like, you know that there might be a small risk, so you might hold off once every now and then, but for the most part, yeah, if you see me, you know you'd go for it. And
yeah.
If I was that wide open and that. But I think, I think, like I said, I would give benefit of doubt and say there's, like, a percentage chance, but it's probably too, like, just the attitudes of the players.
Yeah.
Just wanting to, like, I guess, ball hog, or if there is someone on the team that they know that they'll just more buddy up with them. I mean, I know when we're doing like the walk-ons and stuff, I'm more inclined to pass to you, especially on the inbound stuff, because
you know I'm going to move the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's just going to run up and take the shot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I always try and make sure it's that case. But I know, if there is someone we see on the team that's a bit more of a team player in that sense, they'll likely get the ball a bit more too. But yeah, for the most part, I know that you're always likely going to be the first person I pass to in that sort of sense, and whether it be inbounding or in game.
Yeah, and it's attitude, I suppose, when it comes down to it. But I do think that the difficulties with passing, they have to have some impact on people not passing in life, because it's you try and make a good pass, and it's what should be a good pass just goes completely awry because of the animations and the heaviness and just going into this really exaggerated pass that kind of moves people out of position and behind the backboard or behind a defender or something like that. And it does happen a bit in 2K as well. You know, we've seen that. We've seen that. You know, when you get dragged behind a defender for the canned interception, but it does happen in live and lives. 2K at least, if you want to do a catch and shoot, it's a lot better. If you're standing stationary and someone hits you with a pass, sometimes depending if it's not a clean catch, but I think there's too many catches in live that should be clean that aren't, or they're clean catches but they're clean catches after your player has suddenly moved to somewhere they don't need to be. I think they really need to fix up passing in Live 20, because that's what makes it playing strategically so hard, because I'd certainly be happy to run plays and whip the ball around the perimeter and try and stay one step ahead of the defense, but the passing is so slow and so inconsistent that it's probably also then contributing to the CPU getting good defensive positioning. So it's all really, it's related. It's all together, the problems.
And it's all
exacerbated by each other.
Yeah, the other thing, like, even with blocks and that, like, I don't know if it's input lag, but, you know, you push the triangle button before you see the opposing player going for the basket, like, or going up for a layup or a dunk and that, or even at times a jump shot too, but it won't activate until after. And it's like, well, you know, you felt that, like, you've beat them, so took because you've anticipated they were going to take that shot. And yeah, it doesn't trigger till afterwards. But again, like I said, whether that's a latency thing or especially with our servers here or my internet, but yeah, it is a frustrating thing. And it's like,
I think it happens more online, but it does happen offline as well.
Yeah, blocking,
I think in live the last couple of years, there's been some really nice block animations in 18 and 19, but they've felt very canned. And I think it's, again, going back to what I said in the Monday tip-off a few weeks back, that you really need to, both companies, until they can really get the tech there, and maybe it's going to be a next-gen thing, what they can do with the physics and everything, but I think until they get there, they need to do a better job of masking those inner workings, because the canned moments really stick out now. Kind of more than they were last-gen, but more similar to what they were doing. Remember Live 06 PC when you get a steal and it will just go into that real that smooth canned animation of knocking the ball out of the hands?
Yes.
I feel that a lot of live defensive animations feel very canned at the moment. So I think it's, and 2K as well. I think the short-term solution at least is to mask those inner workings of the gameplay, those mechanics, just basically. They're probably still going to be canned under the hood, but make them look and feel less so. I think that's the challenge, to utilize the technology that they currently have as best as possible. Because both companies have tried doing the live ball physics, and it's kind of been a disaster. So they've pulled off. Remember, that was the whole thing with Live 14. It had live ball physics at launch, and then we realized, after those big patches that were addressing a lot of the issues, we realized, hang on, where have the live physics gone? They've kind of pulled back on it. And 2K has done similar things with their momentum system and their motion system. And it's just because the tech isn't quite there yet, for basketball at least. I think basketball is still one of the hardest sports to properly capture.
I agree.
I think because of the constant motion, the five players all on that small court, you know, all the players in the half court basically, whereas with football, association football, soccer, you don't have everyone on the pitch up there playing at the same time. So you can have a bunch of players up the other end standing around. Kind of like the real sport, I suppose. but if the ball is at one end of a soccer pitch of football, and I guess it's the same for other sports as well, there's a lot of players who are currently idle. Whereas with basketball, you've got five players per side in the half court,
constantly
moving and doing something
within close proximity. So there's a lot of contact, little bumps and niggles, things in here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to simulate all of that at this point.
And to that end, you know, I will say that making a great realistic basketball game, if it was that easy, it would have been done by now. You know, yep. if the tech existed for EA and 2K to do it, it would have happened by now. And I think 2K has come very close on some occasions in the past decade or so with some of their best releases. But as far as live is concerned, I do think they need to fix that up. As much as, you know, people talk about the animation quality, yeah, that's the thing. But 2K's got some funky animations as well. I don't think it's quite as many as Live, but I think 2K does, as much as I've complained about the motion, I do think they at least have the passing is a bit better. Not the logic of the directional pass of 2K. No. That's a problem in 2K. Live is a little bit better about that, but the heavy passing animations and the slow passing definitely still remains an issue. The passes were... The interceptions where it just goes straight into a defender's back instead of being able to go to the recipient's hands. Again, it's all connected with all the issues, and once you start putting them together, it just doesn't work out to be as much of a solid game of virtual basketball as it should be.
Yeah. Well, when I got to play the Live 18 like in Orlando and that, I mean, passing felt really good. Like, that was one of the things I remember sort of mentioning to you guys, is like it felt good, and there was still some tweaking that was going ahead with it, and you know, things that, you know, they said were coming in over the next 2 weeks and that, and I was like, but that was just one thing that I remember, that, you know, even just the simple X button passing felt good. A lot of the animations felt good, like if you're trying to do a long pass to a player, you know, it wasn't like the over the head one, it was that looked like there was some weight and motion into it, where the way the body would turn and twist, and it would pass it from like the hip and stuff like that. And there was some really cool stuff in like that that I was like, yes, I haven't seen this in Live before. So that was, but I didn't remember really seeing it too much in the retail version. And right. I'm like, so that for me was a bit disappointing, because that was one thing that I commented on, that it felt a lot better in terms of things, and there didn't feel there was as many turnovers. That there was, that there was still just a little bit of tweaking it needed, and it would have been really good in that sort of sense. But yeah, I just, when the game finally shipped and that, it was like, where is some of this? And I was like a little bit bummed about that, to be honest. And I was like, it felt like a little bit like that with Live 19 as well. It didn't have that as well. So I'm like, it's a shame.
I have had that at community events. I know exactly what you're talking about, is that sometimes they make adjustments before the game goes gold and gets released. And you think, why did they change that? Because that was working perfectly. Yeah. And I remember that there's someone in our community. I don't want to call them out, because they come in, they drop every so often. They come in to the forum every so often and like a bad smell and stink up the place. Never enough to get banned, unfortunately. but I had a run-in with them at the time, and they're one of our more opinionated users. They don't post as much anymore. You know, I'm not too heartbroken about that, actually. Anyway, we really are a friendly community, people, but this person is kind of a tool. But they were really getting on me and saying it was my fault that I should have noticed these things at the community event that were wrong with Live 07. And I said, well, look, when I played it, it wasn't an issue at the event. You know, I can't control what changes or what ships. You know, you're trying to get as much information as possible. Also, at that first community event that I went to, we had about 45 minutes of gameplay, which is not enough to try and find out all the things about the modes and the gameplay and everything. And you're trying to, you know, take pictures and everything else. And I'm doing it with a phone, so it was terrible. It was, or maybe an old digital camera. Either way. And I was trying to explain to this person, well, you know, I tried to look for all these issues, but there's only so much you can catch when you've got 45 minutes of hands-on time. And it's all a moot point anyway. Even if I'd spent 5 hours with the game or more, if they then make changes before release, well, it's not the game that I played at the community event. And you've obviously, you've seen some of that as well, having been to one. Here's a question. When you went to the community events, did you mostly play single player or were you playing against each other?
Okay, for the first day, we were playtesting the E3 build.
Uh-huh.
And we were testing the three players that, you know, it's like we choose the sort of archetype and that. And we did a little... And it was, yeah, just sort of get familiar with it. It wasn't until day three where they had the networks working for it.
Okay.
And that was the day we basically spent the entire day playtesting the online. But yeah, mainly first day was playing the online, oh, not the, the demo. Day yep. two, they let us play anything in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like they originally said, you know, try this and this mode, but it was like, no, let's just open it all up. So we could play test any of the modes for the entire day. In fact, our days were from, for the 3 days that we were playtesting, was generally 10 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Yeah.
But day two, I think we'd finished about 8:30, 9 p.m. So we were there, yeah, for nearly like 12 hours playing in that. We did at one point, I think on day two, go and have a probably about an hour or two sort of go and talk to the developers, and you know, we got shown around the floor with, you know, the some of the dev teams, and they were showing us some of the things that, like I said, from what they were showing from where what Live 17 would have been,
yep,
to where they were at now at that point. And like I said, you can see there was like a night and day experience for a lot of the things that they had shown. And even like we helped them break down a certain scenario. It was like, okay, well, in this case, you know, this should have been happening here. You know, maybe I think it was like a James Harden should have been leaking out or something like that, or just a reaction from when a loose ball and stuff like that, things like that. So we helped with that sort of stuff. We were apparently going to try and get faces scanned, but there was just not enough time in the end.
Same thing happened with my event, actually.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, but yeah, it was pretty much, yeah, day three was really testing the online, because that's when it was all working at that point. And, you know, some of us couldn't connect to each other and all that stuff. So, you know, it took a little bit of time, but we managed to get all of us playing and stuff like that. And there was day one where we did play head-to-head against each other on the one console. And I got to play against Cookie Boy, I remember that, and I think maybe one or two of the other guys. I was using the Knicks, so, you know, it was a team that I wasn't very familiar with in using, and obviously the first time using an Xbox controller or Xbox console, or Xbox One, I should say.
Yep.
So for me, it was like a huge learning curve in that sort of sense and getting familiar with it. So, yeah, but I remember there being one or two nice plays that I had, including like the sort of wraparound the back layup one. I did that on Cookie Boy. I was pretty happy with that with D Rose. So,
I did remember you mentioning that.
Yeah.
The reason I ask is because I remember we had a lot of solo time as well. But I think a lot of it, because it was when Pro Am was launching, what was then Live Pro Am, and I guess now is just basically Live Run and the Streets World Tour. Yep. Is we were testing that a lot and testing that in house and going against, you know, each other, and it was fun. But I think it shows that focus, and this comes back to what we've talked about before, the focus on the One and its connected experiences is, I think, detrimental to the overall product, in so much as that attention is not being paid to the offline experience as well. And
yeah.
I know we spent a lot of time. We got ample time and when I went to the Live 16 event to play around with it ourselves. But I think certainly I could see that a lot of attention was going into Live Pro-Am. And what was, you know, then Live Pro-Am. So I think I was just interested to see whether they mostly had you testing that. And I'm wondering when they have these community events, because they have quite a few of them every now and then, get influencers in. Unfortunately, we haven't been invited to take part in a while. We're certainly open to it. We've both got passports now, so we can do it. But that being said, I do wonder, whether there's been that focus of people playing against each other and they are looking at that multiplayer experience, which is important, don't get me wrong. But if it is focusing on that a little bit too much, whether you are getting these things, like they're focusing on the feedback for people who are playing live run and etc., and that's something they need to do, but then they're only really testing that multiplayer aspect of it. So then when it comes to what they've made the adjustments for the CPU as well, that's where you're getting these issues with the jump shots, because it's been tuned so much for online and online balance and competitive online. And I don't think Live's at the point where you can really do competitive online yet. No, 2K for all its issues is a lot closer to, I mean, the 2K League has happened, and for the problems, it is still succeeding to a certain extent, I guess. You know, it's a thing. They haven't pulled the plug on it yet, I guess. And certainly there is a big online scene with 2K. With Live, you know, I know they're building towards that, and I think that's something to have, and it's important they do have that scene as well eventually. But you can't have that at the expense of the offline experience. And although that kind of happens with 2K, not to the same extent, and certainly not with shooting as well. If anything, I can probably shoot too easily offline in 2K, I guess. having some of the numbers that I've been putting up in my second year of my career is absolutely ridiculous, but fun in its own right as well. But I do think they need to. It just comes back to having that balance between online and offline. I've talked about that in articles and on the podcast before. You need to cater to both audiences, and I do wonder if at some of the events it's been too focused on that multiplayer experience, and if they're looking more at that and neglecting some of that single player. And I hope they can change course on that. I hope they can push through another patch for Live 19, and if not, certainly get on track for Live 20. Speaking of Live 20, as we have been doing, obviously, there's obviously speculation because it wasn't at EA Play. And I saw somebody throw out the suggestion that on Twitter that it's probably going to be cancelled. Which is funny, because they've only cancelled two games in the last, I guess, seven, eight years. And even then, it was the right call with Live 17 to take that year off. I don't think that's the case. I think it's basically just that they didn't want to show the game this year.
Yeah, I think too, like, for what it takes to even have a demo, you know, there's a few weeks, even a couple of months worth of work there. Mm. So you're taking some of the developers away from the core game. So, and the fact that, you know, 2K hasn't really been there for a while either. So maybe, hopefully this comes into a benefit that extra time that they would have lost, you know, from the staff time and development time, and that goes into the actual core game. And hopefully this means that they can deepen some of the experiences and stuff like that. So that's what I'm hoping they gain from it, because it is such a tight release period nowadays.
Yeah. I get it. I get that people are disappointed that there's nothing coming out of EA Play. I mean, I think we were all hoping that we'd at least get a trailer or something, which hasn't happened. And it's unusual, because Live has been, they've shown that confidence to show off the game in recent years. But I think they recently had an event, because I think people were talking. Well, we saw some photos on Twitter. There were people at the studio recently for Live 20. So they recently had an event. So if they're canceling the game, I don't know why they're bringing people in to play test and you know,
exactly,
and everything that and mocap. That'd be ridiculous if they're canceling the game. I mean, I suppose it's happened before, but. I think it's people reading too much into that. I mean, I think they mentioned there was only about 15 minutes of gameplay footage across the entire EA range at EA Play.
It was about 8 or 15 minutes of The Fallen Jedi.
Mm.
I didn't care too much about FIFA or a little bit too much about Madden and that. To really watch, and that my I was more interested in The Fallen Jedi in itself.
Yeah,
I think there was some Battlefield 5 stuff as well. I think it was the other thing that they showed. So there wasn't a whole lot that they did show, which was surprising. And
unless they're canceling NHL as well.
They got the remaster of some of the Command & Conquer games, and that, you know, I was hoping to see those.
So there's a lot they didn't show. So the idea that Live is in trouble just because it wasn't an EA play, I think is extrapolating something that's not necessarily there. I mean, look, we don't know. We haven't got any hands-on time with early version of Live 20, so we can't say for sure. But that being said, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's anything to read into. They are bringing people in to play the game and to play test it from the community. So, which is what they do when they're planning to release a game, usually.
Yeah.
It is disappointing that we're not getting even a cover announcement or something like that. I mean, it would have been nice to get something from the community, for the community, some kind of news. But they're obviously not ready to do that. 2K has said nothing. Actually, that's interesting that 2K has not put up pre-orders yet. Because 2K usually does that as soon as April or May.
Yeah, that's true.
They've pulled back on that. Like, even 2K isn't really doing anything.
Yeah, the only thing we've sort of heard in regards to 2K was the initial Stadia reveal. And that was just 2K19 that they had on Stadia running.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously the sort of leak of the poster or sort of cutout of Dwayne Wade as the Legend Edition.
Mm. So, we didn't have that on the last show, but... So there's been things like that, but it seems like they've pushed the previous season back. And you know what? That may not be such a bad thing, because how many times have we complained in recent years, I should say, about how we get something in maybe April or May, if we're lucky, certainly around June, and then it goes quiet until August, late August, usually.
Yeah, sometimes even September.
And right up until release, we don't really have the previous season. If they're going to have a short previous season, might as well tip it off later. And get closer to the release of the game, and certainly don't put up the pre-orders before we've heard anything about the game. And that was ridiculous.
Oh, 2K. Yeah. But was that 2 years in a row from 2K? It was like, pre-order now. It's like, in the game?
It hasn't hurt 2K, and people, I think, certainly did pre-order it, but it was ridiculous for it to go up that early before you've even released a gameplay trailer or any kind of developer blogs or even the cover player sometimes. I suppose I am disappointed that we didn't hear anything at Live, EA Play, I should say, about Live 20. But it doesn't concern me about the game. It's more a case of why have fun to have something to talk about rather than thinking, making idle speculation about the game being cancelled. I think that's irresponsible, reading too much into it. But it may mark a change in the way the previous season works, and it may not be such a bad thing, because again, Ben, I mean, how many times when we did the podcast, obviously we rebooted the podcast into this new format, how many times, and this is the new one actually under, I guess this is our first one where we've been talking about news, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, let us know how that's going, guys. but how many times before we did that reboot and found out other things to talk about in the meantime, when we were relying on news each and every week, and in the previous season, like, oh, it's another week of the previous season, there's no previews. So if they have actually changed it up and they're really only going to start pushing the game when they're ready to start talking about it, that's not such a bad thing. You know, it's. Well, I suppose we're still waiting for it to start, but we're not saying, okay, well, we've had a cover player announcement for 2 months and nothing else. So that's, I think, always felt a bit empty. Because we remember the previous season back kind of in the mid-2010s when it was, or a bit earlier as well, and mid-2000s, when the previous season was really something special, because it was just coming through and developer blogs, and you get a screenshot here and there, it would really come out, and now it's just kind of, oh, and here's a bit of a screenshot with a player rating on it, and I don't really care about that TJ Leaf is rated 68 overall, you know, yeah. and it's not even showing his face. I'm like, well, that's a wonderful preview of the game, isn't it? It's kind of...
Yeah.
So a lot of the previous season has been a bit disappointing, so if they're going to kind of do a bit of a reboot themselves on that one, that's kind of welcome, but I do hope that we get some good news and great news, in fact, about Live 20. Once again, I do think this has to be a huge year for NBA Live. I think it needs to take some huge steps forward. This last patch, I think, for Live 19 has got me a little concerned about that, and I really, again, really hope that they are focusing on taking everyone's feedback into account, and it's not just this new demographic or a handful of influencers who only play a certain amount of modes. You really need to listen to all the voices and not drown people out, not lock people out because, they're the old heads. And like, yeah, but we also remember when Live was good and great. And, you know, we know why 2K has been... We can tell you why 2K has been able to overtake you, basically. And I do think the developers are interested in that feedback. You know, whenever I send in the wish lists, it's always gratefully received and everything. But yeah, that last patch is for Live 19. If I have any concerns about Live 20, it's that if that's the direction they're going and if they're making those kinds of, if it's not going to be significant improvements in jump shots and some of these mechanics that we've been talking about for a couple of years now, at least, we could be looking at a disappointing release, and that would be obviously quite disappointing because we want Live to keep trying to catch up to 2K so that we have two viable choices.
You know, competition pushes each other instead of just sort of team resting on their morals,
yeah.
Or in this case, money bags and stuff like that. So it's like they don't feel like they have to innovate or push themselves anymore, and try and come up with new concepts and or modes and stuff. So yeah, it's we really need that.
So we'll continue to push our, for what it's worth, our feedback through, and I'm just glad that I'm not alone on the jump shot issue, to be honest, Ben, because I played it and I was really taken aback by how different it felt and how frustrating it felt to not be able to make a jump shot, any kind of contested jump shot, and because I don't want to just run it in for a layup all the time, and I don't want to see the CPU. I don't want to see. I know Stephen Curry drives, but I also want to see him pulling up for a reasonable amount of threes, similar to how he does in real life. You know, for example. I want to see the mid-range jump shots. And that's the other thing, is the trigger zone for layups. Have you ever tried doing a pull-up jump shot in Live and it just goes straight into the layup or dunk animation? And if it's in, you're trying to take the jump shot because that's what you've got space to do, but then it just goes into a contested layup. And I didn't want to do that. And 2K does it as well. Well, then again, sometimes 2K does the pull-up. As you know, you quite know well your slasher.
Yeah.
It'll do the pull-up instead of the layup or the dunk. So it's, we've almost gone back to that Live 2000 era where it's not triggering the right thing in the right zones, and I think they need to sort that out a little bit so that you can do a pull up jump shot. If you're releasing the sprint and you're letting it the stick come to idle, and you're going for a jump shot and you're going pressing shoot, that should be a pull up, or the release of floater, not should be triggering a floater, not going necessarily into that layup from the free throw line. Yeah, so there's little things like that with the mechanics that I really, it's come time that they really need to be ironed out, so that it really needs to be a good game of virtual basketball, ideally a great one. Live has its moments still, and I suppose even with this patch, I'll play a few more games and see how it is, but unfortunately, I think I may be done with Live 19 because I was looking forward to at least giving Ultimate Team another go and playing a bit more online, but after the last patch, I'm kind of hoping for the best with Live 20 again.
That's sad. I mean, I had some weeks off, and obviously some months off playing from the game and that. So getting back into it, it's particularly this week. Like, I did not play any basketball video games at all until basically trying to yesterday and today. Really, it was just trying to play a bit of Live and that. And yesterday was only just a few minutes in that because before I end up having to go play a real game of basketball. So, it's kind of want to at least try and put in a little bit more effort into them before, ready for the next games and that. So, but yeah, just haven't been motivated to play them.
It's one of those things where I think there's value if you are hooked on them, playing them until the next release. But then, and certainly to make a point of comparison, it helps to be playing the other game pretty much up to the release of the new ones. But at the same time, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world when you do take a break from it from time to time, because the games have been out the length of the season, actually more, because they're coming out in September. So we have an extra 6 weeks before the season starts, don't we, really?
At least a month.
Or a month now that they've moved the NBA season back to mid-October. At least a month, really, before the of gameplay before the actual season starts, so we really
I think that's too long, especially when you don't have like the roster updates and stuff like that. So I'd really like the NBA to sort of go, okay, maybe 1 or 2 weeks before the season starts, that's when the actual games could come out. Just a month just feels too long when there's when the team can't really add any updates and player ratings and stuff like that because the content, because the statistic and data and all that stuff isn't there to put in. So, yeah, I think that, and it gives them, you know, the extra time to for polish and stuff like that as well. So I think there can be some greater benefits in that. So even if it's just an extra 2 weeks, it just help the team a lot in that sort of way, I think, as well.
And speaking of the team, just a positive to end on here, Ben. Shout out to Razor, who's now got a job with 2K.
Oh, congratulations, man.
You know, we talked about it in last week's show. We're talking about episode 287, I guess, the benefits of modding and how it can open doors to join the development team. And Razor has been one of our best modders for a long time and made great mods, made great tutorials, really contributed to the community overall with what he's done with modding. And, yeah, hopefully does some great work with now that he's on the team. But it just goes to show what you can, how it does open doors for that. So, by all means, everyone, you know, get in on the modding, because if you want to get into development, it is one path in.
Yeah, you know, it can be a very rewarding path in that sort of way. So, yeah, you know, good to see another member from the community make it.
Got to be up to about 4, 5, or 6 now from our corner of the community at least. So, absolutely very good, and congratulations once again, Razor. Hopefully, NBA Live 20, NBA 2K20, preview seasons starting soon, tipping off, hopefully. Good news, hopefully, in the pipeline. We'll definitely stay on top of that as much as we can, and with our news posts and articles, and of course here on the NLSC podcast. But in the meantime, let us know what you think about the NBA Live 19 patch 1.25, whether you're happy with it, whether you're unhappy with it. Also, let us know what you're thinking about NBA Live 20 and NBA 2K20, what you're expecting, what your base expectations are for the games. Let us know in the comments section, and of course take the discussion to the NLSC forum. That brings us to the end of this week's show, but if you enjoyed it, and we hope you did, we hope you stick around and continue to listen to the show. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on various podcatching apps, including Podcast Addict and Stitcher, or keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. We also invite you to connect with us on social media. On Facebook and Twitter, we are the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. On YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for episode number 288 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm RK.
Go get buckets, everyone.